Good morning. Two readings today. First one from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Begin to read at verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Our second reading is from Luke, starting chapter 13, starting to read at verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all of his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Keep your Bibles open. If you can have your finger in both those passages, that would be really helpful. And let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you for your word. And we ask that you would open our ears and our eyes to what we need to see and hear in it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're drawing towards the end of our Holy Habits series. How wonderful that today's Holy Habit is about Sabbath. It's about rest. After all the doing that we've talked about, today we're thinking about rest. Just that word, I don't know how it feels to you, rest. Sort of deep breath and be still, rest. But we're going to think about the holy habit of the Sabbath in two ways. We're going to think about Sabbath as rest and Sabbath as remembering. And then we're going to look at some challenges for us to reboot our own Sabbath practices. So, Sabbath as rest. Ensuring that we observe the Sabbath day is the fourth of the Ten Commandments. That's the context for our Deuteronomy reading. That was within the Ten Commandments. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. The word Sabbath is related to the verb Shabbat, meaning to cease or to rest. And probably the pattern of 6 days of work and one of rest was unique to the Israelite way of life at the time. So it made the religion of Israel stand out from the neighboring nations. It was one of those things that gave Israel their distinctiveness. And that has parallels for us today. Perhaps the way we rest from our labors, perhaps the rhythm of our weeks will speak to our culture around. God has declared that in the rhythm of our week, we are to work for 6 days and have a day when we do not work. The Sabbath day was every Israelite's opportunity to honour God, to giving time to praise and to learning and to witness, and also to show compassion to others. They stopped regular work in order to be refreshed and to have time together to remember God. Now, the Ten Commandments are repeated in Exodus 20. And there, the reason for having a Sabbath day is because God created the world in 6 days, but he rested on the seventh day, declaring it holy. God rested after creation, and so those who rest on the Sabbath day follow the divine example. God did it first and commands us to do the same. So to rest on the Sabbath day is to mirror God's own resting. It's to remember that we're part of God's creation. It's his earth, not ours. We are creatures of our Creator God, and we bear his image when we rest. We are patterned like him. The rhythm of work followed by rest is in our blood. And to rest on the Sabbath day is to acknowledge that we are totally dependent on our Creator. Even during harvest, the Israelites had to stop work on the Sabbath to acknowledge that God was the primary source of their food and not their own work. And the commandment about the Sabbath in the Ten Commandments comes after three that are about a relationship with God, remembering him, having no other gods, and not making idols. Many of the ways in which we fail towards God are in idolatry. We put other things in God's place, and work is in danger of being one of those things. We often define ourselves by what we do. Our value is in what we achieve, and work, rather than God, becomes our fulfillment. We see it around us today. The command to rest from work forces us to pause, to stop work from taking over our whole lives and defining who we are, and reminds us that our time is not ours, but God's. And God has built into our lives, from the time of creation, a day of rest once a week that will enable us to reconnect with him and adjust our focus. So that's Sabbath as rest. It's to enable us to rest. And at this point, I thought I would read you a story. It's called Jesus' Day Off by Nicholas Allen. So, are you sitting comfortably? And I'll begin. Here is Jesus. Jesus could do amazing miracles, and no one could work out how they were done. He also told marvelous stories, all for free. Each day, he worked hard to make everything around him beautiful. Until one day, he woke up exhausted from saving the world. That day, the miracles didn't go quite so well, nor did the stories. The next morning, Jesus went to the doctor. After examining him, the doctor advised, "Take the day off, Jesus. Relax. Enjoy yourself. Sit in the sun." So Jesus told his friends what the doctor had ordered and then went out for a walk. It was a lovely, cloudless day. First of all, he did cartwheels right across the desert. Then he played catch with his halo. Then he had a picnic. After that, he had a refreshing swim. And finally, he went on a long donkey ride, something he always enjoyed. It had been a wonderful day. But towards the end, as he sat in the sun, Jesus suddenly felt sad. For really, the day had been wasted, and he'd helped no one. In fact, he felt so bad, he decided to tell his dad all about it. Jesus loved his dad very much. Dad knew everything and always had the right thing to say. When Jesus told him about his day off, his dad said, "Look down there a minute, son." So Jesus looked down. "Where you did your cartwheels, fountains of water appeared in the desert. Where you threw your halo and ate your picnic, the trees bloomed with fruit. When you went swimming, the fishermen had lots of luck. And whoever you passed on your donkey felt instantly happy." So you see, when you're feeling better yourself, you can only make others feel better too. Jesus knew that, as usual, his father was right. "Thanks, Dad," he said. When Jesus got home, his friends were so happy to see him looking so well, they cooked him a delicious supper. That night, after he'd said his prayers, Jesus slept soundly. The next morning, he was glad he'd taken a rest. He had this funny feeling there was a lot more good work to be done. That story is, of course, a story. It's in the author's imagination. We're not meant to take it word for word. It's a children's story, but why should the children get all the good stories? And that author has written some great stories. It's not a biblical story, but it reminds us of a few things. Jesus was a good Jew. He would have observed the Sabbath. Our reading from Luke shows us that he did. He was in the synagogue on the Sabbath, worshiping and teaching. He wouldn't have needed reminding by a doctor, though, that he needed to rest. But we know that he did need to rest. At times, Jesus needed to withdraw from the crowds. Our sermon series on the holy habits began with those words, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." He needed to recharge his batteries. And if he needed to, how much more do we? This story challenges our view that a day is wasted if we haven't been busy and have something to show for it. And it reminds us that we are refreshed emotionally and physically. If we are refreshed emotionally and physically, we are in a better place to help others and make them feel better. And rest enables us to keep going in all the good things that God has for us to do. So maybe I could end my sermon there. Maybe that's all we need to know. But that's Sabbath as rest. And then there's also Sabbath as remembering. Deuteronomy says, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." The Sabbath is to remind them where they have come from and how God has saved them. The Israelites are to remember their history. They had spent 400 years in Egypt. They worked 7 days a week. They had no time off. They were slaves, not people. They were work units of no value. They were simply equipment for making bricks and getting buildings built. But now they have been set free from slavery and given the land, and so they work as free people. Now they're no longer slaves. They are not to work 7 days a week. The Sabbath was a day to remember the freedom that they now have and that they are not to live as if they are slaves to their work. They are no longer commodities or doing machines, but sons and daughters of God with a new identity. Sabbath keeping is a demonstration of that identity as God's chosen people. And because they now are free people, they are to avoid exploiting others. In our Deuteronomy verses, we read family, animals, refugees, servants are all included in the command to rest. Everyone benefits. The Sabbath is a day to remember all these things: set free, new identity, deliverance, the value of all humanity. Sabbath is a reminder of creation and of redemption, being saved, a day to remember God as our creator and thank him for his rescue and trust him to provide for the future. For us as Christians, Sabbath is a day to remember our own salvation history. the rescue God has given us in Jesus' death and resurrection, as he came and dealt with sin once and for all to bring us back to God. In stepping aside from our work and taking a day of rest, we remember we are valuable to God just as we are. And he has taken us from the slavery of sin and the fear of death into a land where we are his sons and daughters, dearly loved by him, and set free from guilt and shame, able to serve others. We saw in our Luke reading of the healing of a woman who had been bent over and unable to straighten up for 18 years. Probably, it's thought, the bones in her back had fused together. And in Jesus' day, we see that there was a right way and a wrong way of behaving on the Sabbath. You would think that a simple commandment about having a day of rest would be easy. But the religious rulers had created a whole list of things that couldn't be done on the Sabbath. It had become hard work to make sure no work was done. There were about 1,500 rules. Jesus' actions often brought him into trouble with the religious leaders as they disputed about what the purpose of the Sabbath really was. And that's what happens in our Luke reading. Jesus heals the woman with a word and with a touch. And all that the synagogue ruler can do, he was in charge of worship and the conduct of the synagogue. All he can do is to say that the healing was a violation of the law. It constituted work. He has no compassion and no sense of wonder at what God has done. Jesus exposes the hypocrisy in that the traditions allow untying and leading animals to water on the Sabbath. So why shouldn't the Sabbath be used to untie someone who was bound up physically and spiritually? Jesus cuts across their petty laws and emphasizes the God-given purpose of the Sabbath, a day for restoration. In Mark, Jesus says, "The Sabbath day was made to help people. The people were not made to be ruled by the Sabbath day." It was all the wrong way around. Twice in that Luke passage, in verses 12 and 16, Jesus says that the woman has been set free, the language of freedom from slavery, and in fact, the language of Sabbath. What better day could there be for this healing to happen? This woman is a living parable of the fact that the Sabbath is a day to remember God setting his people free. And it happened before their very eyes on that day. So, Sabbath as rest, Sabbath as remembering, and now Sabbath rebooted. Some practical thoughts for us. The Jewish Sabbath begins when the sun goes down on a Friday until sundown on Saturday. In the Christian tradition, Sunday has become our day for observing the Sabbath due to the resurrection and Pentecost both taking place on Sunday. The day of the week doesn't matter. It's about setting aside a 24-hour block of time each week and protecting it. Pete Scazzaro suggests that there are four things that the Sabbath is for, and so I've just decided to home in on these. There was so much I could have said. The first thing we're to do on the Sabbath is we are to stop, and that is stop work. That in itself can be hard for some of us, deciding not to look at emails, answering your work phone, making sure your head isn't still in work even if you're physically not there. We stop work not because we've finished our work, but because it's time to stop. There is no need to have finished everything. There will probably always be something we could be doing. But God is still managing to rule the universe without us. Not all of us are in paid work. The challenge is to take a step back from our unpaid work too. It might take some planning doing some household jobs or admin on other days, so that your time of rest is not simply eaten away, having to play catch-up at home. If in your life each day can look the same, make the day different from others somehow. On the Sabbath day, says Deuteronomy, you shall not do any work. And secondly, on that day, we are to enjoy rest. The Ten Commandments tell us that as God rested when he had created the world, we are to do the same on our Sabbath day. Rest is to do things that restore us. That might mean going out for a walk, reading a book, having a nap, going out to dinner, being with friends, or being alone. We are all different. For some of us, gardening restores our soul. But for others, it's definitely just something you have to do. Sabbath is a chance to enjoy rest and trust God that you will have the time that you need to do all that you have to do in the other 6 days of the week. And thirdly, we are to practice delight. In Genesis 1, God describes all that he has made as very good. He celebrates what he's done and he rests. He invites us to join in with delight in all that he has given us. The people we know, the places we go, the beauty of creation. Work out what you do that gives you joy and delight. Again, it will be different for different people. And fourthly, we are to contemplate God on the Sabbath, to remember him, be reminded what God has done for you. Gathering with God's people is obviously a key part of that, but it's not the only part. Draw close to him, see him at work, recognize his hand on your life, be aware of his love, see him in people, in food, in art, in babies, in sport, in music. Be thankful. Recognize that you have value in his eyes, just as you are, and not because of what you do. Now, none of that is necessarily easy. You might feel there is no way you can create a day of rest. It may be that your work is overwhelming. Your children and keeping all the balls in the air may make a day of rest impossible. But start somewhere with an hour or two on what you consider to be your Sabbath day. My experience is that I'm not good at trusting God with my time or with the work that I have so that I can rest well. I think that I can only stop when things are finished. All too often, my value is in what I do. My head is often still in work, even if it's my day off. My day of rest is often taken up with catching up on jobs around the house. And it's all too easy to sideline God on my day off. Sabbath is a holy habit, like prayer and worship and Bible study. Like the other holy habits, it might take some training. It's a way given to us by God that helps us to slow down, to create a healthy rhythm to our lives, to stop them getting out of kilter, so that we can connect with God, ourselves, and all those that we care for. It reminds us that life is about more than work, paid or unpaid. It's a good gift from God, and it's a way he delivers his love to us. So, my friends, why would we want to miss out? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the gift of Sabbath. We thank you for your example and that we are made in your image to rest. And we thank you for a chance today as we gather and on other days to remember all that you have done for us in Jesus. Help us to create good rhythms in our lives, Lord, that reflect your character and your rest. Amen.